I haven't probably done that.
Yeah.
I went last year.
I'll probably help on it, yeah.
Yeah, so last year we went and we tried to tally how many people knew about the technology, because there weren't that many. And we were, I'm going to say maybe 10 to 15% of the people would say, yeah, you know, we've heard about it, and a lot of it was camera-based, you know, offshoots of the loss prevention systems, because they were sort of the first side of delivery solutions. And then this year, just a year later, it was probably the fastest sort of adoption curve I've ever seen. That's goal number 5, but wasn't my daughter, by the way. Totally yelling, sorry. Fastest adoption curve, I mean we were in 4 booths, our technology supported the booths, and the biggest booth that it was in, they saw 1,000 people at our part of the booth, and of those 1,000 people, over 80% are heard of the technology. So the, you know, retailers' perspective on it is much more informed. There's a lot more trials going on, a lot of people working on the line of business justifications, the business cases. And I think between what we hear and what we see in our customer base, what's happening is, the feedback we get as retailers is at the register. And so and some companies have door counters. Does Costco have door counters?
Manual.
Oh, sure.
We have human door counters. They do a door count when you enter in. If you ever walk in, you'll probably see a little clicker or something that they might have or what. But, yeah, and that is mainly, I mean, obviously we're just sort of logging traffic coming in, and it might give us a little bit of insight within 30, 45 minutes of what kind of front-end impact we're going to get. But that's
So it's not the card checker? It's not the card checker. It's some polling, like sampling?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, it's just logging. I think it's more measuring shopping carts really coming in for the most part, because, you know, you got a whole slew of kids coming in with their parents. They're not necessarily going to impact our front end.
No, absolutely. And, yeah, some of the more, it's funny because I hear it all the time, some of the, we have grocers, so similar questions. Some of the systems out there try to identify a mass of people and see if they can figure out that it's kids, you know. That's helpful. And, you know, the door counting, that issue has been around for a while, you know, infrared and camera systems telling you how many people are coming through the door. And what they built, that's sort of the, I think that's the industry's toe in the water on traffic being an important metric. What they would tell you, and these guys are, when we provide the technology to them, they would tell you that store conversion rate is probably the most important metric. Staffing, you know, understanding how many people are there. You probably less so, right? Because a lot of the stores I deal with might have 10, 20, 30% conversion, and you've probably got, I'm assuming you've got something like 90%+. And also marketing, right? So what happens when I get more traffic, that runs correlation to a kind of marketing campaign. But that's the industry's first toe in the water. What we see now from the people that are involved in this space, the retailers, is that they're starting to believe that since you can measure traffic matters. You know, so if we used to only have the information at the register, so now what they have is an understanding of well, where are people going, you know, how does the merchandising affect where people go, how long are they dwelling, what are my unique visitors, my return visitors, things of that sort. And the better of the systems will record a person that comes in, knowing nothing about the person, but they see it as a unique ID. And that unique ID then has behaviors, and typically the better of the systems will define behaviors by departments. You could do it by aisles, but then when you're starting to look at 1,000 stores and you want to compare behavior, the aisles don't run, the aisles don't correlate, but the departments do. And so they see, John came in to department 3, or John came in and he went for electronics. He spent 11 minutes in electronics, he then passed by these departments and he stopped at this one and he spent 4 minutes and so forth. And that's what a record looks like. And then you look at all the records in gross and you start to tie them to, you know, actionable business analytics. You've got sort of 2 categories of data, I think, and this is us talking, but meaning this is the way we look at it as a company. One category of data is looking at it like a sociologist, what happens that changes mass behavior, what is the benchmarking against things that I do, like a merchandising change, a store redesign change, When I move seasonal from here to here, what happens? And because that data doesn't show up at the register, it's always very insightful. The merchandising and store ops people look at those things as a regular report. I want to see the effect on traffic of everything that I do. And sometimes it's really telling, like, well, when I put this in the front of the store, my time in store goes up. Or when I made this change in store design, I've smoothed out behaviors and I'm moving people all the way through the store. Usually these things like heat maps and so forth to help them see that. Those are, you know, really telling sort of big, like there's no way you would have known if you hadn't seen it. And then there are others that are just sort of more regular, like, hey, my dwell time is down in the store. Or if I'm a merchandiser and I'm running a pharmacy, right? And I want to look at all my stores and say, who's got more or less dwell time? And let me go find out why. Those are things that are sort of situational. I'm going to look at it when I have a reason to look at benchmarking. On the operational side, but am I okay at this pace? Are we covering?
Yeah, no, it's good.
On the operational side, sometimes we combine the data with POS and or staffing, and sometimes we don't. So an example might be, you now know how many people are trafficking in each of your departments by time of day and day of week. So if you're staffing the butler department, you now you have hard data to then say, okay, well, I want to maintain this ratio. This is my traffic, so here's how many people I'm going to staff. And sometimes, you know, we or people like us will put a manual report, you know, just produce a manager's report or a regional manager's report. Sometimes it'll feed into an HR system, you know, that'll pull in that data and take other considerations into play and use that as informing the scheduler. But that's a, you know, great sort of very operational use. Another would be conversion. Conversion in many cases is a holy grail to people. We take the number of tickets that have a transaction in a department, and then we take the number of people. Well, okay, the numerator is the number of tickets that have a departmental purpose, right? So let's take liquor. And then the denominator is the number of people that visited the liquor department. And now we know what our conversion is in the liquor department. And pretty much everybody's got that data in their POS. So either we've produced a report or your own people can produce a report. And now you've got, I've got this performance metric that didn't exist previously that tells us, you know, okay, so what are the knobs you turn, right? We turn store ops knobs, we turn merchandising knobs, and we turn marketing knobs. And we've got department heads, and we've got people that head up, you know, in the store, right? And then we've got people that head that up for the chain. So, for example, if I'm running liquor for the chain, then I can look at all my stores and all just the liquor department and all my stores and say who's got higher and lower conversions. And there's always a swing, and the ability to understand who's performing better or worse typically doesn't exist without them. So when they go look at the people that are performing well, they instantly figure out why, right? Training's not right. The stores are, you know, it's in the wrong part of the store. It's not merchandised properly. There's sloppy ops there. They're going to figure it out. But from an ROI perspective, if you do nothing but take a couple of departments and say, the bottom 10% performance in three departments, all you have to do is raise conversion by 2 or 3 points and it's many, many millions of dollars. We're in South Florida, and their ops perspective is in each store, there isn't just a person that runs men's accessories, there's somebody in the store that runs men's accessories. I can move accountability, I can distribute accountability if I've got conversion metrics. So,
which store did you say you're in?
Ralph Lauren. The brand.
Ralph Lauren.
Yeah, the Polo store. So that's where conversion comes in. We'll also see, so it's conversion staffing, merchandising, there's queue management. So we can measure the queue. We do it by looking at people with cell phones, right, and how long are they waiting in the queue. And then we provide reports that say, you know, store 18, this is your average wait time by hour, you know, over the course of time. And what you can do in that case is set standards. You know, we don't want our wait times to be, well, part of it's informative, but part of it is, again, the ability to set standards and hold store managers accountable for managing that aspect of the business. And I don't know what that means to Costco. What does it? Because like, you have like this very unique queue, right? My wife doesn't like waiting in line, and I would go to Costco for entertainment. Like, I'd skip a movie and go to Costco. How do you look at the lines?
Well, I mean, typically, I mean, we've got standards. We don't want, you know, so many people in the line before we open up another line kind of thing. And you know, traditionally, our lines move really fast. I think we're probably the fastest throughput of any retailer that I know of.
Oh, in terms
of once you get, you know, up at the register and you're scan your items and everything and you're paying, you're out. But, you know, there's obviously a lot of management that goes into that and trying to get the right amount of people staffed and the right amount of people up in the front end. And we've looked at, you know, on a high level, queue management, you know, or trying to get some indicators, whether we measure certain traffic patterns and you know, there'd be a trip line somewhere where it's going to indicate, hey, you're going to get slammed in about 5 minutes with a lot of people coming up. You know, we've got, usually we, you know, if you've been to a Costco, you know, it's sort of a racetrack associated with it. You know, we steer you guys around a little bit. Not to the extent of like an IKEA or anything, but I mean, it's, you know, there's definitely a pattern to.
IKEA is more of a Le Mans course, I think.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of hairpin turns.
Yeah, just sort of
more NASCAR.
That's right. Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. That's a better analogy. Well, you know, and so the idea there is you've got two really powerful things in queue management. So the first one is we now know the answer, and we know how long they're waiting, which, by the way, so it's not how many people are in line, but we measure how long they're waiting, because that then gives credit to your faster checkout process, right? And it's not, there's an optics about how many carts are in line, but the real metric, the real customer service metric is how long do I wait, right? I mean, I don't care if there's six people if I wait a minute. I care if six people in front of me. So part of it is that. So now you have accountability. You can measure the GMs. You can measure the shift managers and say, you know, here's going core, here's how you're doing. The other side of it is we see all the traffic in the store, so, and you're in a racetrack. So we can start telling you, okay, we'll run algorithms on every store. Actually, we've already built the algorithms. And then you can say, okay, our prediction is that this is your requirement in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, whatever it might be, because we see all the other data. We, you know, we probably see them at the door. We try to get those systems in, but then we see everything else that's in the
truck. So you guys do all this with Bluetooth sensors, right?
That's right. So we have Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, depending on what you want to accomplish. And so we see a sampling, right? We see a percentage of the people that are in the store. And we can, typically, we geofence the departments. We geofence them down to that meter accuracy. That's actually easy to do. The Bluetooth, we don't do the carts, because cart behavior is partial, you know, in stores, and it doesn't always represent where they are. You know, we can, it's not a core business. It's very inexpensive. I mean, in general, we don't charge for the hardware implementation. That's one of the nice things about Bluetooth. You know, so we put sensors in the store, and it gets piped over IP to our servers, and we munge it the way you want and send it right back to you. We try to do it on kind of a SaaS basis. Wi-Fi is different. Wi-Fi sees a little bit more people, but you don't have the same granularity. And we can mix the two too. So it really depends on, you know, what we're trying to accomplish. But in installation for a Costco store, you know, it's just one night.
Yeah. So you guys set up these little nodes. It sounds like you've got like, you know, a few central hubs that you set up that sort of receive the little signals from the nodes. Am I assuming that correct in terms of what the hardware?
Yeah. So how's your look like? Are you a technology guy?
I'm not, but yeah, a little bit.
All right. So you'll hit my limits just pretty quickly. But so there's the Bluetooth nodes are transceivers, so that's the size of your cigarette pack, especially in Costco, where they can go anything. They can go under a shipper, you know, under they can go under a pallet. They can go on or under a shelf on the spine. They can go to the ceiling.
They need some power, right?
They need low voltage. Yeah, that's right. So either they're plugged into an outlet, or they're chained on twisted pair, chained for power. And you guys are pretty good spot. It'd be hard for us in something like a store in, you know, in an old building where there isn't a lot of power, and you're even limited in how you're going to pay them. That's a challenge for us. The bigger stores, grocery stores, drugstores are pretty easy. They communicate, they chain to each other, and that provides a couple of things. One is it simplifies the installation, and the other is that it allows us to do mesh networking. And so we can chain up typically up to 8, as we like to do, which means that they'll talk to each other, and the last one in the chain will then talk to, you call it a hub, that's a good word, we call it a base station, just a nomenclature.
Mm-hmm.
And then that has IP connectivity, either that's Wi-Fi or that's direct net. So in a big store like a Costco, we might have somewhere between 2 and 4 of those base stations. And they communicate to our servers, and then our servers can manage the data. And if you want it back, it's pretty much real time. It's every couple of seconds. It's probably much more granular than you might need. And the data structures are typically designed for the customer. Right? Well, they are designed for the customer. So you can change them, but typically the departmental, which you might want to have, you might want to do shippers, you might want to do end caps, you might want to do brands inside of a section, and those are pretty easy to do. We can tell right side of the aisle, left side of the aisle, but surprisingly, not a lot of people want to do that. Usually it's departmental there might be a relationship with a brand where you might be charging the brand or trying to create, you're trying to determine relationships.
Gotcha. So at the end of really how granular we want to be is really how many nodes you set up.
That's exactly right.
So we really want to, know exactly how many people are, are dwelling around a certain, whatever. Then you just set up more of those things.
Look at it this way. So we tune them, and we can retune them at the server. So you look at, look at automotive, right? So we say, well, we definitely want automotive. I'm not making this up right, hypothetical. But so we want automotive. So I could do 2 things. I could geofence that whole aisle, or I could just put one node in the beginning, one at the end, set it for like 8 feet, and now I know if I entered it. And we just tell the data that an entry and an exit constitutes a dwell in a single person because it's a single aisle. If it's 2 aisles, we might geofence it. But a single node can see anywhere between a meter and, could be 15, 20 meters if it's up high. So you're just playing a geometry game with circles. And you could have 5 circles be a single department. Like we have Best Buy. So when you look at Best Buy accessories, we might geofence the accessories. And we might geofence the accessories so that you can see the brand. Oh, it's a very bad time. My kid has 4 goals.
Somebody scored?
No, they just ended, and you had 4 goals. But it's a the national tournament they're playing. They're playing Detroit. If they were playing Seattle, I would lie if it was Seattle. I'd tell you. So you're playing. So you, in that case, in the Best Buy, they're going to say, we want Samsung and HP and Apple to be its own mini zone, but we're going to take all of those zones and make it one cell phone accessory area. It doesn't take much knowledge at the store level to sort of plan that out.
What's
that?
Should I be named
wrong?
I get the analytics piece and being able to report on all that, and that's great. Have you guys run into a scenario where, in addition to what you're doing there, tie it into a mobile app where using the whole geofence, you could trigger an event within the app itself to trigger like an offer or something, knowing that, hey, I'm by within this area and I want to, almost like an API where I could use the infrastructure for other things as well as what your, the core business is.
We have and from the very beginning. So we have an excellent SDK, and it's a well documented API. So we can inform a mobile app. location and turn on the radio, you know, so we have 100% coverage if they have the ad. And we even have the messaging feature in the API. So you have that, everything that you're suggesting, right? You've got the real-time piece, which is Craig's in the store. We know it's Craig.
It's not in the
data. How do you know it's me, though? You don't know it's Craig.
Oh, because you have the app. So that's
oh, okay. So through the app, it's going to communicate with the Bluetooth ID or something, right? So it knows.
That's right. Yeah, it's going to take your, that's exactly what you said it perfectly. We see the ID, we call it, that's you.
Okay.
And because you've got the app, you make it permission-based, so you don't have any layer of the choice, but, you know, you
right.
can avoid it. So part of it is real time, which, as you suggested, is a way to say, okay, well, first of all, I'm in the store, but you might see me dwelling someplace that's a high value, high margin area, and you might offer me a discount. The use cases you can come up with, but we do exactly what you said. The other side of it, the back version of that is, you know, we now know what your shopping patterns are. We know where you've dwelled. Maybe we call it the equivalent of shopping cart abandonment. So we know where you spent time in addition to what you bought, and we might choose to modify our marketing message to you or customize your coupons based on what your behaviors are. So Best Buy, for example, you know, they really want to know if you spent a lot of time in large appliances but didn't buy anything. And that's great. That's great marketing data. Same with Target.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so that part's easy.
Best Buy doing it. Are they using your product right now?
That's why I have a product, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been a customer for almost 2 years.
All right.
Yeah.
Any other big retailers that I should that I know about?
That I can tell you about?
That you can tell me.
Sure. They're in trials. I mean, other people in geographical similarities to Best Buy. Couple of very big grocers because they're very progressive. HEB I can tell you about. They have an excellent technology innovation group, so they were kind of an early adopter. Clothing stores, clothing chains, quick serve retail. You know what? Airport. So one of our partners is Boingo, and Boingo is putting us in airports as the TSA key management, as well as looking at the airports like a mall and striping it out and understanding traffic and traffic flow and all of that part. So you'll see Austin that goes in. Thank you very much. So yeah, four goals straight. Austin goes in, I think, next week, and behind that comes San Jose and Columbus and one of the Canadian airports. So you know, and one of the nice tie-ins to somebody like a Boingo is in-store Wi-Fi. Are you doing in-store Wi-Fi?
Yeah, we're just rolling it out. We haven't really enabled it for our shoppers yet, but in terms of just setting up the infrastructure, it's been an ongoing project for about a year now to modernize all that, all of our locations.
So here's a little bit of a circuitous use case. I'm going to put these sort of two pieces leading up to customer engagement for Wi-Fi. So. Knowing what you know about us, you can run a query like a standard report that we might call a showroom report. Now, for Best Buy, we call it showrooming. For you, it could be researching or it could be showrooming. But basically, we say, we want each manager to see where people are going when they're not going to the register. So, now we're able to see what are they researching, and using the fact that they didn't go to the register as a way to call them out and then identify patterns. Well, that's great data, and especially when you have lower conversion or a department with lower conversion. So then you take the Wi-Fi URL data and you merge the two. And so, again, with Boingo, they produce a report that shows both the research behavior and the URL search behavior. And then people understand where they're researching and what time of day and day of week. And interestingly enough, they are patterns, right? So we know we can actually take action. We can put better information where those products are, and we can put people during the time of day that they show up. So that's again, circuitous, but that's the combination of URL data from public Wi-Fi and the other.
Okay.
How are we doing?
Yeah, very interesting stuff. You know, we've been kind of knocking around some of these concepts for a while. You know, there's obviously, you know, people are doing a lot of Wi-Fi around it, but I haven't seen a lot of people that are using Bluetooth, which, you know, we know is a little bit more accurate, at least more granular, because of the proximity and all that stuff, the reads on it.
Sure.
But
on
a macro level, you know, Wi-Fi works pretty well, too, you know, in a certain sense.
Yes, and we do both at the hardware and software level. Do you have 5 more minutes?
Sure.
So we're a good opinion on the difference between Wi-Fi and Bluetooth because we sell them both. And we've been around for almost 15 years. We were founded by a couple of guys out of Rockwell. One of them was the project manager for the GPS satellite program. And the company's been, looks more like an integrator with subject matter expertise in location services. So we've done everything from Pepsi trucks in South America, you know, to McDonald's, to you know, from outdoor to indoor, and sort of all of these. And over the time, we've developed IP on the software side, about 30 patents on location services and mobile. And we decided to become more of a product company about 2 years ago because this market was exploding, and it makes sense to do that. So we've gone through some, you know, front-end changes to that. You know, we're more sales and marketing and product. And so we care less about, we're not really married to a technology as much as what we try to do is deliver, you know, we're in business, so we want to deliver a solution where people can look at it and say, okay, I see my ROI, that makes sense. I'm going to buy that. And one of the challenges, there's two challenges in Wi-Fi, really three. One is that the device pulls every 30 to 120 seconds. So we can miss traffic for as long as 2 minutes inside of the store. And there's some places that matters and some doesn't. And the other is accuracy. Wi-Fi in general is about 10 meter accuracy, which means that I can be 30 feet away from where I think that person is, and in most environments that really matters. You know, if we're going to deliver a conversion report or a staffing report, and 25% of the people are actually in the department next door, that's 75% accuracy, that's bad data. I don't need 35% coverage, but I do need 90-something percent accuracy, and that's a challenge. The other piece is in mobile, Wi-Fi will run down the battery. So if you're in a store and we're tapping on Wi-Fi for 60 minutes, you know, Macy's really cares about Wi-Fi. Jamba Juice doesn't, because you're not going to tap down the battery and make your customer call. But Wi-Fi is better coverage. So in a smaller volume store, Wi-Fi is really important because we just can't do it with Bluetooth, but we can do it with Wi-Fi. So, you know, having both, and sometimes we combine the two, works great. The only thing I will tell you is that existing APs don't work. So they're just not designed for location services. And also, generally, people don't install dual radio APs, which means that the same device that's designed to be a Wi-Fi provision for the consumer, if it's also then tracking people, it loses, you know, well into the double digits in percentages of accuracy. So there's, you know, like Blender, for example, you know, it's kind of hard on these guys, but they install a lot of APs in airports and we still install additional hardware to locations. So, but they've got better coverage. So, you know, what the position you try to put the customer in is let's weigh the differences and come up with recommendations and see which combination or one or the other works better.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'd certainly like to explore it a little bit more, you know, and maybe come up with some viable use cases that we'd be interested in over on our side, and I present to some of our business people and see if it's something we want to look further into.
Sure. That's the right way to start. I mean, so we do everybody trials the gear. And depending on the IP shop, in many cases we trial it in the lab too. You know, so for example, at Best Buy, you know, we lived in their hub for 4 months, the headquarters hub. But it's the use cases that drive the most guided process, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, the next time I'm up, would you like to get together? I'd be happy to bring some gear and sit down and talk first.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. It'll be in the, you know, I'll, I have to look at schedule, but it's in the next 1 to 3 weeks. If, I think we talked about September, right?
Yeah, September should work just fine.
Did you say you're going on vacation, or am I forgetting?
Yeah, I've got the time I'm taking next week, actually the end of this week and next week, and then I don't think I'm doing any traveling during that time. So, yeah, let's just keep it open, let me know kind of a couple dates and times, and we'll make it happen.
Yeah, that sounds good. And did, are you going anywhere fun?
No. Just around here, just within our great state. There's plenty of places to go.
That's true. I'm not laughing, but it's true. It's we're new in California. I was at AOL before coming here, in Maryland, and there's just so many places to go on the West Coast.
Yep.
Did we answer questions well?
Yeah.
Did we get everything in?
Everything,
sure.
Yeah, I learned a lot.
Great. Thanks for reaching out. I'll follow up by email and appreciate your time.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you.